Around the circle he wrote, Father Tubalcek's fingernails, and rats, and veterinari, and Mrs. Easy. Lower down the page he wrote, golems, and drew a second circle. Around that one he wrote, Father Tubalcek, and Mr. Hopkinson. After some thought he wrote down, stolen clay, and grog. And then, why would a golem admit to something it didn't do? He stared at the candlelight for a while and then wrote, rats eat stuff. More time passed. What has the priest got that anyone wants? From downstairs came the sound of armour as a patrol came in. A corporal shouted. Words, wrote Vimes. What had Mr. Hopkinson got? Dwarf bread? Arrow not stolen. What else had he got? Vimes looked at this too, and then he wrote, bakery, stared at the word for a while, and rubbed it out and replaced it with oven. He drew a ring around oven and a ring around stolen clay and linked the two. There'd been arsenic under the old priest's fingernails. Perhaps he'd put down rat poison. There were plenty of uses for arsenic. It wasn't as if you couldn't buy it by the pound from any alchemist. He wrote down arsenic monster and looked at it. You found dirt under fingernails. If people had put up a fight, you might find blood or skin. You didn't find grease and arsenic. He looked at the page again, and after still more thought, wrote, golems aren't alive, but they think they are alive. What do things that are alive do? Arrow. Answer. Breathe, eat, crap. He paused, staring out at the fog, and then wrote very carefully, and make more things. Something tingled at the back of his neck. He circled the late Hopkinson's name and drew a line down the page to another circle in which he wrote, he'd got a big oven. Cheery had said you couldn't bake clay properly in a bread oven, but maybe you could bake it improperly. He looked up at the candlelight again. They couldn't do that, could they? Oh, gods, no, surely not. But after all you needed was clay, and a holy man who knew how to write the words, and someone to actually sculpt the figure, Vimes supposed. But golems had hundreds and hundreds of years to learn to be good with their hands. Those great big hands. The ones that looked so very fist-like. And then the first thing they'd want to do would be to destroy the evidence, wouldn't they? They probably didn't think of it as killing, but more like a sort of switching off. He drew another rather misshapen circle on his notes. Grog, old baked clay, ground up small. They'd added some of their own clay. Dorfel had a new foot, didn't he? It? It hadn't made it quite right. They'd put part of their own selves into a new golem. That all sounded, well, Nobby would call it mucky. Vimes didn't know what to call it. It sounded like some sort of secret society thing. Clay of my clay, my own flesh and blood. Damn hulking things, aping their betters. Vimes yawned. Sleep. He'd be better for some sleep. Or something. He stared at the page. Automatically, his hand trailed down to the bottom drawer of his desk, as it always did when he was worried and trying to think. It wasn't as though there was ever a bottle there these days, but old habits died hard. There was a soft, glassy ching and a faint, seductive slosh. Vimes's hand came up with a fat bottle. The label said, Beer Huggers Distilleries, the macabre finest malt. The liquid inside almost crawled up the sides of the glass in anticipation. He stared at it. He'd reached down into the drawer for the whiskey bottle, and there it was. But it shouldn't have been. He knew Carrot and Fred Colan kept an eye on him, but he'd never bought a bottle since he'd got married because he'd promised Sybil, hadn't he? But this wasn't any old rotgut. This was the macabre. He'd tried it once. He couldn't quite remember why now, since in those days the only spirits he generally drank had the subtlety of a mallet to the inner ear. He must have found the money somehow. Just a sniff of it had been like Hogswatch night. Just a sniff.
And she said, that's funny, it didn't do that last night, said Corporal Nobbs.
He beamed at the company. There was silence. Then someone in the crowd started to laugh, one of those little uncertain laughs a man laughs who is unsure that he's not going to be silenced by those around him. Another man laughed. Two more picked it up. Then laughter exploded in the group as a whole. Nobby basked.
Then there's the one about a Clachian who walked into a pub with a tiny piano, he began. I think, said Lady Salachi firmly, that the buffet is ready.
Got any pig knuckles? Said Nobby cheerfully.
Goes down a tree.